I have always thought it curious that Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus would be called the Holy Family. After all, if there ever was a family that was dysfunctional, a family that had issues, as we like to say today, it would certainly be this family. They have to be right up there with the best of them and the worst of them when it comes to dysfunctional families. Consider this morning for a moment. Mary has a child out of wedlock. Joseph is the father of a child that is not his. And Jesus, think about this. Well, this kid could give you a timeout permanently. And like illegals or aliens or immigrants or whatever word you want to use today, here they are crossing the border in the middle of the night, being led maybe by coyotes, people they had to pay, who knows. They cross the border into Egypt to be safe, secure, to have a better life. Anybody notice the uncanny resemblance of the Holy Family in today's gospel to the conversations that we are having now in our own country about borders and immigrants? Like several Southwest governors, but Jan Brewer in particular, when she was asked about, why are you so opposed to keeping families together, she said, what's so special about families? I want to ask this question. What's so holy about this family? I think the two are related. Maybe you will too. Of the four Gospels, only Matthew and Luke have a birth story. Of the two, the one you know is the Lucan one. You know this because you love it. We all love this story. I mean, what is there not to like about, you know, a nasty government, you know, issuing some kind of poll tax, and you've got to make some kind of long and dangerous journey to get back to your hometown? You know, I left Kent years ago. I have no reason to go back there. And so here they are. And then, of course, it gets even dicier because Mary is about to deliver. There is no room in the inn. It's like the movie of the week, isn't it? Yeah. And it gets even better because way out there in the fields are shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. You know they're sitting around the campfire telling dirty jokes and drinking. When suddenly, an angel shows up, and then a whole heavenly host singing the Hallelujah chorus. And they immediately leave the sheep, run over to Bethlehem to see this wonder that has been done. We love this story. You hate Matthew's story. Well, you would if you knew it, but you don't know it. You don't know Matthew's birth story. None of us know Matthew's birth story because it's boring. It is really yawning. Like boring, okay? So here's how Matthew starts the birth story. It's as if he had gone on the computer, typed in www.genealogy.com. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of... You're thinking right now, God, is he ever going to stop? No! Matthew goes on and on and on. This is his birth story. And it is interesting what he leaves out. He begins with Abraham begats Isaac, but there is no mention of Abraham's banished son Ishmael. Then Isaac begat Jacob, and again, no mention of his elder brother whom Jacob cheated out of the inheritance. You remember poor old Esau? And this is followed by Jacob begatting Judah, and his brothers. No mention of the good and faithful Joseph. You know, the one that Judah sold into slavery? What's going on here? According to Matthew, God does not necessarily select the noblest or the most deserving persons to carry out God's divine purposes. No, God is more likely to select rogues and anyone with less than a savory reputation, perhaps even someone crossing a border in the middle of the night. And you know what? The same holds true for women, too. No mention of the good and faithful Sarah. Only Tamar and Rahab. These are the kind of women that mothers warn their sons about. And then there is the foreigner, the seductress Ruth. Of course, the coup d'etat is Mary herself, the 14 or 15-year-old with the unconventional pregnancy. This is Matthew's account. One of the things I get this Christmas, and I got a bunch of them, are Christmas cards that are not Christmas cards. They're just a single sheet like this, and there's like four pictures of the family members. I get those from family members, friends, and members of the congregation. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I like that, you know. It's really nice to get that and you see the portraits of people. Well, I think that's what Matthew wanted to do with his birth story. I think he wanted to draw the family portrait of the Holy Family, not just Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, but everybody. He wanted to show us who these people were. And these people were people who were flawed, who were afflicted and insulted. They were the cunning and the weak and the conniving. But God with us, Emmanuel. God comes and makes his home with us because we are part of that holy family as well. We're right there alongside the shepherds and the wise men. We're the saints and the sinners who take our place next to them. Now, the interesting thing here is that I bet many of you put up a manger scene, a creche, in your house this Christmas. Take a good look at that. That's the Lucan version, right? You got sheep, you got shepherds, you got Mary and Joseph, you got the angel up above, right? Nobody puts up Matthew's version, right? Nobody puts up Matthew's version. About the best we might do is stick a couple of wise men in there or something. But Matthew wants us to be sure that we understand that down through the ages, God chooses rascals and rogues and ruffians, outcasts and women with reputations. I find that hopeful. Not only for myself, but for you too. I find that hopeful because what it says is that God is likely to choose you or me to be loved and to be part of God's family. With all of our flaws and failures, and even with our gifts, we receive the gift of grace. The gift to bear God's word of grace in this world to every person. The good news is that this is a gracious, loving, and forgiving God who isn't satisfied until every person is in that Christmas holy family portrait. Don't be surprised if this loving and forgiving God asks you to make everyone make it your vocation to see that everyone is in this family portrait, that no one is excluded. Doesn't matter what they've done or left undone, God wants every person in this portrait. Saints and sinners, immigrants and foreigners, gay and lesbians, people of color, Gentiles, Jews, the 1%, the 99%. We like to make divisions, but God likes to make communions. And God's Christmas portrait of the Holy Family is everyone. That's what Matthew is telling us, that God is doing a new thing. God is bringing everyone together through the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, for this picture, I said to my wife, Jackie, I said, you know, I wrote this thing and I'm going to be doing a takeoff on this Christmas portrait thing. I think I'm going to make the entire congregation get up at this moment and come stand around this table for the Christmas portrait. She looked at me and said, "Are you nuts? Do you have any idea how long that would take? Do you know that these people are Northern European and they wouldn't do something like that? They're going to stay in the pew?" And we went through this whole thing about why you aren't going to do that. And then finally she said, "Well, it would take the people in, like Al Tennyson, who comes to the 8 o'clock with his walker. I mean, you know, Al is moving at about probably 0.7 miles an hour, okay?" She said, "You know how long that's going to take? That's just going to make people mad, Wayne." I don't think so. I think that's what God wants. I think if there was one place that God was going to shoot that Christmas portrait of the Holy Family, it would be at that table. I really do. Because it is at that table that we come and are fed and nourished by the very bread of life and the cup of salvation. We remember that we're there because we're forgiven. We're there because of what it is that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So what are you going to wear for the family portrait? Huh? This, you got to give this some thought, because as I have looked at people's Christmas cards with those family portraits, the four pictures, Elisa Lewis, who is my former youth director, she did some youth directing here for a while too, but my former youth director from California, she now lives in Maple Valley, you know, and she's still into that, you know, everybody in the picture has to be the same, the husband, the wife, the two kids, you know, they're all wearing, she's coordinated their clothing, you know, kind of thing. What are you going to wear for the portrait? I'll tell you what you're going to wear. You're going to wear your birthday suit. That's what you're going to wear. No, I'm not thinking of that one, no. I'm thinking about the baptismal birthday suit, the garment of grace. You know, the one that you're wearing where the hem is all torn? You know, the one that's all soiled, it's got the big stain right here? That one, that garment of grace. That one that was given to us in the waters of holy baptism. Because it was in the waters of holy baptism that you became God's family. Became part of it. And you were given that garment of grace. And although we're going to show up here with it all stained and faded and ripped and torn, God won't care. God won't care at all. Wouldn't that be something? Imagine what God's holy family would look like. I imagine we would have to use one of those panoramic cameras. Who would we get to take the picture? I don't know. Maybe we ought to look up, what was that guy's name who did that painting? Maybe we ought to look up that Da Vinci guy. Maybe he'd be good at, you know, getting our best side in that picture. So, if I really was going to do this and make you come up here, this is what I would say. Tall people in the back, short people in the front, and the rest of you on your knees. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.